Today is part three in our series on hearing God's voice. Yeah. Hearing God. Part three of our series, part one, was on the foundation, which is Scripture. If you don't get that, everything that comes after it is shaky. It's on shaky ground. Today we're going to talk about the prophetic word, but if you don't start with Scripture, there's too many people running around with books of prophetic words that they got, but they don't read Scripture. They just read prophecies. That's not good. You got to start with Scripture. You got to start with building a daily relationship with God through Scripture. Why? Because of 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed. If you want the breath of God, the Spirit of God, you got to get it from the Word of God, and that's the Bible. Last Sunday was part two of the series. We talked about the preached word. Once we established the written word of Scripture, the next level is the preached word of God. Why? Because 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Let him who speaks speak as the oracle of God," which means that the person who preaches has the responsibility to see to it that he or she is bringing a word from God to deliver to God's people. Yeah. When we stand here on Sunday mornings and proclaim to you the word, we're not simply giving you our opinion. We're not giving you cleverly invented fables or myths. Yeah. We're not giving you a pep talk. Yeah. This is not a motivational speech. But we're giving you the word of the living God. And that means that it's the responsibility of every preacher to see to it that what we bring out of God's word is actually in God's word. The Second Helvetic Confession of 1562 says, "Predicatio verbi Dei est verbum Dei." The preaching of God's word is God's word. The preaching of God's word is God's word. And if it ain't God's word, it don't belong up here on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Amen. Now we're going to build on that. The next level is the prophetic word. First the written word, then the preached word, and then the prophetic word. And we're going to talk about how important the prophetic word is for hearing God's voice. I've got one verse of scripture for you today. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Paul says, "Timothy, my son, I give you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made over you, so that by recalling them you may fight the battle well." Another translation says, "I give you this charge in keeping with the prophecies once made over you, so that by them you might wage the good warfare," that you might fight the battle well, that you might wage the good warfare. This is a hugely important verse. Now, what we must understand is that Paul has given Timothy a tremendous responsibility. He has appointed him to a tremendously important post in the ministry with a great deal of authority. He says earlier in chapter 1, I believe it's verse 3 or 4, he says, "I left you in Ephesus so that you might command certain men not to teach false doctrines." Yeah. He says, "I've left you there in Ephesus. I've told you, go to Ephesus and stay there. And Timothy, there's people in Ephesus teaching false doctrine. I'm sending you there not to suggest that they stop, but to command them to stop teaching false doctrine. And to stop focusing." There's people in the church that are focusing on endless genealogies and mythologies and philosophies and things that do nothing but stir up dissension and division and conflict and confusion. Timothy, I'm sending you there to tell them fools to stop. And some of these people are older than you, Timothy, but that's not going to faze you, because I'm sending you with all authority. You're going to rebuke, you're going to encourage, you're going to establish, you're going to affirm. And then he says, "Timothy, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made over you." I'm giving you this command. The reason I'm able to give you this command is because I heard the prophetic words made over you. Now, later he's going to tell us when those prophetic words came. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says, "Do not neglect the gift of God which you received through the laying on of hands when the body of elders," or through prophecy, excuse me. "Do not neglect the gift of God which you received through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Literally, Paul is saying, Timothy, there was a day when you were young, when you were called to the front, and the elders came, and they laid their hands on you, and one by one they began to prophesy over you and speak the word of the Lord over you. And Timothy, I'm giving you this charge today in keeping with the words that were spoken over you that day by the body of elders. What is Paul saying? The first thing he's saying is, Timothy, when those prophetic words were spoken over you, I never forgot them. Those words were so important to me, Timothy. When I heard the prophetic words spoken over you, and Paul might have spoken some of them himself, he says, I never forgot them. I never forgot them. Why? Because when a prophetic word goes forth over an individual, God is sovereignly, by his Holy Spirit, making known the identity and destiny of that individual to the people of God. And when that word goes forth, the people of God have a choice. We can either hear it and accept it and steward it and make it a means by which we know one another by the Spirit, or we can adopt a, that was cool mentality, or a, we'll see mentality. Let me ask you a question. Can you remember a single prophetic word that was spoken over a single person in this house? Can you call it to mind right now and say, can you look around the room and see three or four people say, I remember the day that prophetic word came over this person. I remember the day. Can you even remember the words spoken over Chris Jamerson and Trifena today? Like, can you call them to mind right now? What if we developed a prophetic memory as a people, a corporate prophetic memory, so that every time a prophetic word went forth, you say, I'm going to remember that about that person. I'm going to remember. And why? Because in keeping with that prophetic word, what God does through the prophetic word is he begins to make known the identity and destiny of individuals in the body to the body. I remember when Sonny and I She graduated a year before I did. 2001, I graduated seminary, and she and I moved to the Bay Area, and I took a ministry position with a particular ministry and was there all of 6 months, found it to be an exceedingly toxic environment, and so I put in my resignation, and we left. I was devastated. It was my first ministry position right out of seminary. I was 25 years old. I was young, and I felt like a failure. And I was crying every day. And the next Sunday, we decided to go visit this church because we had heard a lot about this church, but when we were with this other ministry, we were just not able to go, and so we thought, we've been waiting, we're going to go visit this church. We went and visited the church, and we sat in the church, and we were so ministered to in that service that after the church was over, we went home and we said, you know what, we're just going to make this our home church. We're just going to stick, we're just going to hang out here, and just this is our church. So we made the decision, this is our home church. Weren't looking for any ministry positions or anything. We just wanted to be incognito for a while and sit at the back, you know, not be known by anybody, or incog Korean on her, in her case. And you know, just sit at the back, you know, just be anonymous. The next Sunday, we come to the service, and actually, it was that first Sunday when we came to the service. I'm getting the chronology wrong. But anyway, when we walked in the building, I saw who was speaking that day, and it was a well-known prophetic figure in the Bay Area. And the moment I saw his name, I knew he's going to call us out. I don't know how I knew it. I just knew it. He's going to call us out. This man's going to call us out. I don't know why. We sat at the back. At the end of his sermon, he said, everybody stand up and lift your hands and begin to pray. We stood up and lifted our hands, and the next thing I hear is, you in the blue sweater. I opened my mouth, I opened my eyes and looked down, and I'm wearing a blue sweater. Sorry, I've been up since 3:30 in the morning. I'm tripping over my words. As I said it right in my head, it just didn't come out of my mouth right. I look down, I'm wearing a blue sweater. And he says, is that your wife next to you? I said, yes. So Sonny and I go to the front. And what does he do? He looks at me and says, the Lord says you're a powerful proclaimer of his word. And that he gives you deep revelation and deep insight. You also have a powerful worship gift. I never met this man before in my life. And he had never met me. He says, God's given you a powerful gift of worship. I see melodies and I see harmonies in you. And God has given you this gift of worship. And then he looked at my wife and says, and you're a prophet of God. Amen. You got a very powerful prophetic gift on you and a prophetic edge to your teaching. And then that was it. That was the word. Like, well, what's God going to do? Because when we think of a prophecy, we think of in 10 days, this is going to happen. In 6 months, there was nothing. All he did was read our gifts and then laid hands on us and prayed and ended the service. A week later, Sunny wakes up in the morning and the Holy Spirit speaks to her and says, today at church, the worship pastor is going to announce that he's moving on and Benjamin's going to be offered his job. And she tried to shake that off because she thought, that's just ambition speaking, and I'm not going to be coveting this man's position in ministry for my husband. But sure enough, we get to church. At the end of the service, the pastor calls up the worship leader and says, he has an announcement to make. And the worship leader says, I love you all, but the Lord is sending me on. This is my last Sunday today. And my wife, I look at my wife, and her jaw drops almost into her lap. And then the pastor looks out at me and says, I need to talk to you after the service. How did he know who I was? The Lord introduced me to him and his whole congregation a week ago. Yeah. That was called an accelerated interview process.
Yeah.
When God gives your resume to the whole congregation. That's called an accelerated interview process. And 2 weeks later, I was the worship pastor of that church and was there for 2 years until the Lord sent us here to plant Living Hope Christian Center in 2004. Yeah. It all happened because of a prophetic word that people's ears were attentive to.
Yeah.
Because when the Holy Spirit speaks about an individual in the house, he does so for a reason. You better pay attention when the Holy Spirit starts speaking because he does so for a reason. But if there's no prophetic memory, then those words begin to fall to the ground. Paul says, Timothy, the reason I'm giving you this charge today, the reason I've put you in your place today, the reason I can trust you is not because I know you, but because I know God and I heard what he said about you and I believe what he said about you and I know what's in you and because I heard God tell me what's in you. That is, the prophetic becomes a means by which we know one another by the Spirit. Wouldn't it be awesome if every member of this house had a prophetic word spoken over your life by which the body could know you? Wouldn't it be awesome if in every community group, prophetic words were spoken over every member of this house that we would steward as a body? For instance, what if the word that the Holy Spirit spoke over you is that you've got boldness? And then every time you're tempted to fear, somebody speaks up and says, no, I remember the Holy Spirit said about you that you've got boldness. And all of a sudden, you're known by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Wouldn't that be powerful? Wouldn't it be powerful if we had an online directory with every member of the house? See, when we think about a directory, we think it'd be cool if we had a directory. So if I need somebody's number, I could call them. If I need somebody's email, I could email them. If I need to text somebody, I could text somebody. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a directory with not only everybody's name and number and email and all that, but everybody's prophetic word? So that you could look in there, you say, hold on, I need to talk to Chanel. What did the Holy Spirit say about Chanel? That's right. Now I'm ready to relate to Chanel because I know what the Holy Spirit has said about her. Oh, nobody's excited about that, but about three or four people. I'd much rather you know me according to what the Holy Spirit said about me than according to what you see. We can know one another by the flesh or we can know one another by the Spirit. We know one another by the flesh when we lean on our own understanding. We know one another by the Spirit when we learn how to steward what God speaks over each individual. Paul says to Timothy, I never forgot those words that were spoken over you. I never forgot them. And so I'm giving you this charge, Timothy, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Why? Because I heard what God said about you. Prophetic memory. Prophetic memory is one of the most important relational tools that we have. Prophetic memory will bring us through conflict because no matter how deep the conflict gets between you and me, I can't let you go as long as I remember what God said about you. If I have no word about from God about you, I might be tempted to think that you're a scoundrel and you got no integrity. And whatever the situation may tell me about you, I'll believe it. But as soon as I get a word from God, I've got to believe God and not myself. Come on, somebody. Prophetic memory. Prophetic memory is a relational tool that has the power to heal your marriage. When your husband's acting a fool, you better get the prophetic memory and remember what God said about him. Prophetic memory can cause you to honor your husband who's acting dishonorably, can cause you to love your wife who's acting unlovable. Why? Because you are stewarding the memory of what God said about him or her. Prophetic memory. When a people lack prophetic memory, the words that God speaks over individuals and even over the body as a whole simply fall to the ground. Because there's nobody to carry it in their heart. The word of God comes to pass when you learn how to steward it, when you learn how to carry it, when you learn how to value it. You see, if you don't understand the value of the word of the Lord, I believe that God kind of turns down the nozzle on prophecy because he says, they're not going to remember it no way. Just says, you know what? They're not ready for it yet. You know, any parent knows that when your child is not ready to take care of something, you don't buy it for them yet.
Yeah.
Even if you want to buy it for them, you don't buy it for them because they ain't ready to take care of it yet. Not till you're ready to steward it. I think it's like that with the gift of prophecy. God is longing to pour out the gift of prophecy on his church, but he's looking for a people who are ready to steward it, looking for a people who are ready to cultivate prophetic memory, looking for a people, you know, one of the things I'm getting ahead of myself. I won't get there yet. But stewarding the prophetic words spoken over others is a very powerful relational tool. It's a very powerful community building tool. What if every member of the house had a prophetic word over their lives that every other member in the house was in the process of praying you through?
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that be crazy? Wouldn't that be crazy if God spoke to you about corporate success, but you just lost your job? And the body says, no, we're not accepting that. God spoke over you and said that you're going to be a success. We're going to pray you through this.
Yes.
We're going to pray. We're going to fight for the prophetic word that was spoken over your life. We are not going to let that word fall to the ground. Yes. We are going to fight, and if we fight, we will win.
Yes.
And I know that if we fight, we will win because that's a prophetic word that my wife spoke over this house last Sunday morning. And that word, we're going to win if we steward it. That word cannot fail to come to pass. But you got to fight the good warfare on behalf of those prophetic words. What if we had a celebration every time somebody's prophetic word came to pass? Wouldn't that be crazy? God said, I'm an entrepreneur, but I don't even have a GED. I think that happened to somebody here. What was his name? Guillermo, you remember? Guillermo Santana Willie Perez. You remember that? Remember that dude?
Yeah.
Who used to go to church and, and then got so successful. But that's another sermon. I ain't gonna get. Nah, I love Willie. We stay in touch. He ain't no problem there. But yeah, he do need to get to church. But you know, we have. You know, there's grace. He's great. But I'll never forget the day. He was at my house. Pastors Robert and Diane were there ministering to us. And when they got to him, Pastor Diane looked at him and said, you're going to have your own restaurant, and it's going to be a chain. And you're going to have many restaurants. And he said, when he heard that word, he thought to himself, yeah, she totally missed God on that one. Because I don't even have my GED. I can't be no entrepreneur. I'm not even a high school graduate. And it wasn't until he looked back about maybe 2 years later and realized when he opened his second restaurant that he realized that that word had come to pass.
Yeah.
What if our whole body was stewarding that word on his behalf?
Yeah.
And then when the word comes to pass, it becomes a corporate testimony of how faithful God is.
Yeah.
How awesome God is. Like, we've been fighting for this word on your behalf for these 2 years, and we saw it come to pass.
Yeah.
And how much would that encourage everyone else who's fighting for their word to come to pass?
Yeah.
Prophetic memory.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah.
But then Paul says, I'm giving you this charge in keeping with the prophecies once made over you. By the way, I got to break that down a little bit. In the Greek, what Paul actually says is, in keeping with the prophecies that once went before you. The prophecies that precede you. Literally, Paul is saying that when a prophetic word is spoken over your life, that prophetic word goes before you. That prophetic word goes ahead of you. Do you know that the scripture says that God sends his word to heal us and to deliver us of all of our distresses? Yes. Do you realize that when God speaks, his word has legs, his word has wings? You see, for any one of us to speak, in order to have integrity, after I speak, I've got to do what I say.
Yeah.
If I tell my wife, I'm going to wash the dishes, I actually have to go into the kitchen and wash the dishes in order to have integrity. It's not enough for me just to say, I'm going to wash the dishes.
Yeah.
I actually have to wash the dishes. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to help me this morning. But for God, he only has to speak. Because his word itself fulfills itself. So when he said, let there be light, there was no further action that he needed to take in order to bring light into the world. All he had to do was say, let there be light. And those words went out and said, boom, light.
Yeah.
All God has to do is speak. He don't even have to get up off the throne. He just sits there and says, let there be, word go here, blessing go there. That's why it says he commands the blessing. Blessing go there, blessing go there, blessing come upon him, blessing come upon him. And the blessing itself goes forth and fulfills itself. That's why prophecy is so powerful. Because the moment God speaks over your life, it's not an if, it's not a maybe, it's a certainty. Because his word does not return to him void. Do you realize that if you've got a prophetic word over your life, that word right now is gone ahead of you into your future, and it's already fulfilling itself on your behalf? That while you're waiting, his word is working on your behalf. His word is already setting up stuff for you and setting up divine appointments and divine encounters and tearing down walls and destroying attacks. While you're sleeping, the word is working. The word is working. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get you free today.
Amen.
I'll tell you what.
Amen.
So then Paul says, I'm giving you this charge in keeping with the prophecies once made over them, over you, so that by them, or by recalling them, you might wage the good warfare.
Yes. Yeah.
Paul said, I've already called them to mind. That's why I'm giving you this charge. But now you got to call them to mind. It's not enough for me to call them to mind, Timothy. Now you got to recall them in order to wage the good warfare. See, it's one thing for somebody to be believing for you. It's another for you to be believing for yourself. Timothy, if you don't recall those words spoken over you, you can't wage the good warfare. You can't fight the battle well. What does he mean, fight the battle well? What warfare? Do you think the devil's just going to sit back and let you walk into your divine destiny with no resistance, no opposition whatsoever? There's too many believers who, God said it. I believe it. That's the end of it. No, it's not. No, it's not. God said it. I believe it. That's the end of it. It is not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. The end of it doesn't come until you begin to fight the good fight, until you begin to wage the good warfare. God said it, I believe it, that's the beginning of it, but I'm going to wake up and believe it again tomorrow. And if it doesn't come to pass, I'm going to wake up and believe it again tomorrow. And if it doesn't come to pass, I'm going to wake up and believe it again tomorrow. And if it doesn't come to pass, I'm going to wake up and believe it again tomorrow. And that's what waging the good warfare is all about. It's continuing to believe it, even when it doesn't come to pass for a long period of time. Call it to mind, Timothy. Recall it. Is there a prophetic word over your life? Can you remember it? Can you remember the last word that was spoken over you? I have a journal that goes all the way back to 1994 in which I wrote down prophetic words that I received.
Yeah.
I have several prophetic words that were given to me that I recorded, audio recorded, and uploaded to a website. I have a file in which I have recorded words. And whenever I'm discouraged, in which it just seems like that word is coming to nothing, it's not happening, I go back and click and I listen. I go back to that journal, I open up and I read. Why? Because I got to wage the good warfare.
Amen.
I got to wage the good warfare. I got to fight the good fight. And you know what the interesting thing is? The interesting thing is often within the word that you receive, when you really receive a word from God that goes ahead of you, it contains the key to the breakthrough you need. You find yourself in pursuit of the fulfillment of that word, and all of a sudden you hit a roadblock where the enemy is fighting you tooth and nail, where the enemy is resisting you, trying to keep you out of your promised land. Now you got to go back and listen to that word again or read that word again and say, what did God say? What was the key? And oftentimes I'll find that when I go back and listen to that word, the key to my breakthrough is right there in that word. When you receive a real prophetic word and you believe it, you steward it, and you contend for it, you can actually see the difference in the way you live. People around you can actually see the difference in the way you live your life from that day forward. Case in point, Devon. I added a syllable to his word. That's what jet lag will do. Devon got a prophetic word. We spoke a prophetic word over Devon just a few months ago. How long ago was that? 2 months ago. And you can see the difference in that dude.
Yeah.
When he walks in the room, you can feel the difference.
Yep.
When he worships, you can feel the difference.
Yeah.
You see him showing up to children's church and serving the Lord and serving the children. Even when his wife can't make it, he shows up. Why? Because the word was, you are a spiritual leader in your household. You are the light of your family. You're going to wage war on behalf of your family, and you're going to win. And we're seeing him live that word out. How powerful is that?
Amen.
And that word, am I lying, Shay? Or is he different? He's different. That's his wife. If his wife say he different, he different. Now, your wife knows. Your wife knows if it's just a front. She said it ain't a front. He different. Why? Because he received a word and he believed it. There's a very interesting verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. It says, covet to prophesy. It's the only place in the entire Bible where covetousness is a good thing. I mean, you go back to the Ten Commandments, covetousness is bad. Not good. Thou shalt not covet. Don't covet. You know what covet is, right? It means to see something that somebody else got and want it. And it says, don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't look at your neighbor's wife and go, I want her. No, bad. Don't covet his ox or his donkey. Right? His house. That, you know, those are metaphors for his job, his car. Right? Don't covet. Don't covet the stuff that belongs to your neighbor. Don't do that. Don't look at your neighbor's life and say, I want that car. Yeah. I want that house. Yeah. I want that wife. I want them kids. You know, well, yeah, that probably ain't going to happen anyway. But that's one thing we don't covet. I'm so glad they made my kids. I'm jet lagged, okay? Just blame it on the jet lag. Blame it on the okay. Sorry. Moving on. Spirit of Jamie Foxx came on me just for a second. What was I talking about? Covetous. But he says, covet to prophesy. And actually, I looked at the word in the Greek. It actually is the word jealous. Be jealous. Once again, jealousy, bad. Every other context, jealousy is not a good thing. God said, don't be jealous. But when it comes to prophecy, be jealous. Meaning when you see somebody with a prophetic gift and they're speaking prophetically, yes. you're supposed to look at them and go, God, I want that.
Yes, yes.
I want that, God. I want that. Yes. Mm. Give me that, God. I want that. Yes, I want yes. to prophesy. Yes. I want to prophesy. Yes. He says, be jealous to prophesy. Covet to prophesy. Yes. Earnestly desire to prophesy. You see, the prophetic word actually brings about change in a house that cultivates prophetic memory and prophetic covetousness. We must covet the prophetic word corporately. As a body, we must come to church every Sunday with a prophetic covetousness in our hearts and minds. God, I want the prophetic word in our church today. I want to hear a prophetic word today, a word that speaks directly to somebody's life, change somebody's life, establish somebody's life through the prophetic word.
Yeah.
Covet. Recall. Prophetic covetousness. And prophetic memory. Yeah. You know the key with prophecy, the thing you got to remember about prophecy is that some words take a long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah.
A long time. This goes back to Hebrews chapter 6, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact verse. But the author of Hebrews says, I don't want you to be lazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, don't be lazy.
Don't be lazy.
Mm-mm. I don't want you to be lazy,
yeah.
but to imitate those who through faith
yeah.
and patience
Amen.
Receive yeah. that which is promised. I don't want you to be lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience receive what is promised. What verse is that? Oh, you were looking at it, right? No, you weren't. Okay, never mind. Don't be lazy. Now, in that same passage of Scripture, the Bible says that when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore it with an oath, saying, I will surely bless you. Mm. Right? And it says, people swear by things greater than themselves, but since God didn't have anything greater to swear by, he swore by himself.
Yeah.
And he did this so that by two unchangeable truths in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope held out for us might be greatly encouraged.
Yeah.
He's speaking about how to receive a prophetic promise.
Yeah.
That is, God made his promise to Abraham, and he swore it with an oath, and then the author of Hebrews said, God did this not for Abraham, but so that we who have fled to lay hold of the hope held out for us might be greatly encouraged. What does that mean? That means that when we sense hopelessness, despair, and discouragement coming upon us, we turn and God is over here holding out hope. And his hope comes in the form of a prophetic promise. Here you go, I got some hope for you. And we're over here and we're being attacked by hopelessness and discouragement and despair. And we look over to the right and we say, God help. And he's way over there holding out hope
yeah.
in the form of a prophetic promise. And we have to turn and flee to lay hold of the hope held out for us so that we can be greatly encouraged.
Amen.
And then he says, and we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hope is the only thing that can anchor your soul in the midst of a storm.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hope is the only thing that can anchor your soul in the midst of a storm, that can keep you from drifting out into the waters of disillusionment, despair, discouragement, hopelessness, depression, and fear.
Yeah.
Hope anchors your soul. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. That's why God gives prophetic words.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But the last time you received the received one, you just sat there and said, all right, we'll see. Okay, God, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. Yeah, if you do that, that's cool. Yeah. And then you immediately forgot it.
Wow.
And you wonder why in the midst of your storm you're tossed to and fro by every wind because you let go of the hope that was held out for you. When God speaks, you better hold on to that. And see, because prophecy takes a long time often to be fulfilled, and we're in the midst of this popcorn fast food generation that expects it your way right away, right? Like we expect everything. If it doesn't happen in 8 seconds, we're frustrated, you know? We think prophecy is episodic. That is, if you receive a prophetic word today, you think it's supposed to fulfill itself in this episode right now. Yeah. Like before the hour is over.
Yeah.
You receive a prophetic word about a promotion, and you're wanting this promotion at your job. And so you think, I know, God's talking to me about this promotion. Yeah. Wow, I've been praying for this promotion. Then I went to church on Sunday, and I got a prophetic word that God's going to give me a promotion. And I think God's talking about this promotion. And then I don't get this promotion. And I go, see, I knew that prophecy stuff didn't work.
Yeah.
Because I expected it to be fulfilled in this episode.
Yeah.
Instead of maybe understanding that the prophetic word often goes before disappointment. To give me an anchor for my soul.
Yes, yes, yes.
See, we think the prophetic word goes before fulfillment. No, it goes before disappointment. 9 times out of 10, if God has to tell you you're going to have a child, it probably means you ain't going to have one for a long time. Because if you're getting ready to have one tomorrow, he don't need to tell you. Come on, let's just keep it real. I'll never forget, my wife and I were trying to buy our first house back in 2007. The Lord spoke to me as we were pulling out of the driveway on our way to the airport to go on a mission trip to Indonesia. And God spoke to me and said, do not be moved by what you see. At first I was like, amen. And then I was like, hold on a second, what I'm about to see? If God says don't be moved by what you see, that means you're about to see something that's going to try to move you.
Yeah.
You need a word to go before you that becomes an anchor for your soul. We got a call at the airport that we had lost the house, that it had fallen through, that we weren't going to get the house. And then I freaked out for a second because we were going to lose our $15,000 deposit. And I looked at my wife. I said, we just got a call. We're not going to get the house. And we both freaked out. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then I said, wait a minute. God just said an hour ago, do not be moved by what you see. And guess what? We went on that mission trip. On the way home, we got a call from the person, the whatever, broker guy, that the loan went through. We got the loan. We got the house. Woo, amen, hallelujah. Yes, that's the word. God said, don't be moved by what you see. We weren't moved by what we saw, and we got the home. Amen, we came, we heard, we saw. Whoop, whoop, we got the victory. Yeah, west side, right? But did I mention that was 2007?
Oh, no.
That blessing turned into a curse. Because by 2008, I was like, the real estate market going to turn around any minute, right? Because we've already lost about 20% of the value of our home. And a year later, it was 30%. And a year later, it was 40%. By the time we short sold, it was 50%. Somebody bought that apartment, that condo at 50% off. We walked away with a big L. And I was like, God, how are you going to do this to a brother? You work miracles for us to get into a sinking ship. Thanks a lot, God. And you know what the Lord said to me? Didn't I tell you don't be moved by what you see?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that word was just to get me into the house. God says, no. God's words are non-episodic.
Yeah, yeah.
When God gives you a word, it's not just for this episode, it's for life.
Yeah.
His word does not return to him void. You better hold on to that word.
Yes.
Even when you think it's fulfilled, pick it up again. There might be more in it.
Yes.
There's more to the word than you think there is.
Yeah.
Pick it up again.
Yes.
Go back to that word. God, is there something that I'm leaving on the table that you gave me in the prophetic word that I forgot about?
Yeah.
Don't be moved.
Yeah.
Don't be moved by what you see.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, when the word doesn't come to pass, we tend to begin to either try to reinterpret it,
yeah,
renegotiate it with God. You know, like Abraham did, you know. Yeah. I mean, God shows up and in Genesis 15 says, "Don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield. I'm your very great reward." He says, "But what can you give me, though?" I mean, that's how a lot of us, we talk to God, right? He's like, "Don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield. I'm your very great reward." He's like, "Yeah, that don't mean nothing. What can you give me, though? Seeing that I remain childless and Eliezer of Damascus is going to be my heir." And God says, no, your slave will not be your heir, but one who comes from your own body, a son who comes from your own body, not an adopted son, not a slave, but a son born from your own body will be your heir. And Abram's like, "Hey, man, yes. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah." And then years go by and it doesn't happen. And then his wife's like, "I got an idea. God said a son from your own body, right? He didn't say my body." So I got, you know, my assistant over here, Hagar.
Yeah.
She's a young, fine thing. Why don't you just, you know. And Abraham said, "If it's the will of God, I am his servant. I am in submission to the will of God." That was the flesh all the way around. Trying to do by our own power what God said he was going to do by his power.
Yeah.
It was a renegotiation of the prophetic promise that God didn't ask for.
Yeah, that's good.
And then Ishmael's born, and then God comes to Abram when Ishmael is 12 years old and says, "I'm going to visit you in 1 year, and your wife, Sarah, your wife, W-I-F-E, the only woman I ever gave you, she's going to have a child." And Abraham tries to negotiate. "I already got a son. Just let Ishmael, just let him walk before you." And the Lord says, "Mm-mm. No. The son of the bond servant. See, I told you your slave wasn't going to be your heir. So now you had a child with another slave.
Yeah.
Neither your slave nor the son of the slave. The slave woman will not. No. Abram, dude. You got to start listening, homie." "Did I tell you to go to Hagar? I never told you to do that."
Yeah.
"But Lord, you let it go all these years." The fact that God doesn't talk to you about something for years does not mean he's in agreement with it.
Right. Wow, yeah.
"Your wife, Abraham."
Yeah.
"Mm-mm. I don't forget my promises, Abraham."
Yeah.
He's like, "But I'm 99 years old and my wife Sarah's almost 80. God's like, "Did I ask you how old you are? Do I look like I care how old you are? Shoot, I'm the Ancient of Days. I didn't ask you your age. I know your days were written in my book when as yet there were none of them. Your substance was not hidden from me, Abraham. I skillfully wrought you in the lowest parts of the earth. I know your days, Abraham. And I am the Almighty God, not the some mighty God, not the part mighty God. I'm the Almighty God. Boy, you better put some respect on my name." Come on, somebody. You better put some respect on his name. The promise could not fail to come to pass.
Yeah.
Why? Because God spoke it.
Yeah.
And there's one thing. See, people say God can do anything. No, he can't. There are some things that God absolutely cannot do. Impossible. Even if he tried, he would fail. And one of them is he cannot lie.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, if God tried to lie, he would fail.
Yeah.
He would be like, you know what? I'm not going to bless you. Up, too late, already did. Like, I mean, if he tried to lie, the very words that he spoke would come out and fulfill themselves. He couldn't lie if he tried to. It's impossible for God to lie. His promises are yes and amen. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes And so through us, the amen is spoken to the glory of God. God says yes, and we say amen. That's how it works. But you got to see, the problem is God only has to say yes once. But you and I got to wake up and say amen every morning. We must steward our amen. And that's why he says, I don't want you to be lazy, but I want you to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised. See, anybody can have faith, but very few people got patience. And patience is the ability to remain in faith for a long period of time. Patience is the perpetuation of faith. Patience is the ability to take your faith into your tomorrow. Without patience, your today's faith dies before tomorrow. But with patience, today's faith lingers until the promise is fulfilled. What prophetic promises has God spoken over your life? I'm still stewarding promises that God has spoken over my life since I was a little boy. I've seen so many of them fulfilled. Every time I go to a new nation, I never preached in Malaysia before. I preached in Malaysia last weekend. Every time I go into a new nation, I remember the prophetic word spoken over me when I was 13 years old, and again when I was 17 years old, that I would travel to the ends of the earth and that I would preach all over the world. The word that God gave me when he called me to the ministry when I was 11 years old was that he had called me to preach his word to the ends of the earth. I'll never forget those prophecies made over me, and by them I waged the good warfare. Every time the devil opposes me, I remember the word that he gave me. I remember those words that he gave me. But you know what? Remembering the words that are being fulfilled even now, they encourage me to keep believing for the words that have yet to be fulfilled.
Yes.
Because you know what? I've got many words lingering over my life that have yet to be fulfilled. And I'm still waging the good warfare on behalf of those words. I'm fighting to believe. And you know what? I don't succeed in believing every day. There are days when my faith falls apart and I find myself unable to believe for myself. And you know what I do on those days? I call somebody who is believing for me and say, can you remind me what God said? Can you help me to believe again? And that's why it's not enough for you to know all by yourself what God has spoken over you.
You need a body
of believers around you to help you to steward the word that God has spoken over your life so that by faith and patience you might inherit what is promised.
Amen.
Faith and patience. Yes. The prophetic word is powerful if it's truly from God. And we're not going to talk about discernment today because you know what? I think I don't want to start getting into, you know, well, you can throw the word out if it's not this or throw the word out. You know what? I think I can think back on several instances in my life when I thought the word wasn't from God and it was. When I heard a word, I was like, that ain't God. And then later I'm like, wow, that was God. Look at that. But there are words that you'll hear that resonate with your spirit, that bear witness on the inside of you. That was from God. Those words, when you got a witness in your spirit about a word spoken over you, you write that down. You record that. Put that in your journal. Why? Because when it comes to pass, you got to come back and give God the glory. You got to be careful to come back and give him the glory. Because when he fulfills it, we're going to rejoice together as a body of believers. But it starts when we learn how to give honor to God and to his word. When we establish a higher value for the prophetic word. And that's what's in my heart for today. What I want more than anything is that we would have a higher value for every form of the word of God. I believe every believer needs a higher value for Scripture than we have.
Yes.
We need a higher value for the preached word than we have. And we need a higher value for the prophetic word than we have before. This is what all of these messages have been about. About articulating a value and saying, this is why we need to value this.
Yes, yes.
Because if we value it, the scripture says, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Valuing is about treasuring. It's about making a decision to treasure. Remember when Jesus was a baby on the eighth day, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple to be circumcised, and the prophet Simeon came over and prophesied over him. And then Mary, it says, she treasured these things in her heart. She heard the word spoken over her son, not realizing that her son was actually the Son of God, and she treasured that word in her heart. We got to learn how to treasure the prophetic word in our heart. And this is why the gift of prophecy is called a gift of the Holy Spirit. A gift is a thing of value that you give to another person. I'll never forget Joseph Sevier when he was on staff here. We were getting ready to ordain him, and he said to me, "I don't have a suit. I need a suit." And I said, "Oh man, we got to get you a suit." And he goes, "But I do have this one suit in my closet that somebody gave to me." And I said, "Let me come look at it." And I went to his house, and I pulled it out. It was a Dolce & Gabbana suit. Dang. Wow. In perfect condition. And I said, "Do you know how valuable this thing is?" He said, "No, I didn't know what it was." I said, "Try it on." He tried it on. It fit him perfectly.
Wow.
I said, I need to smack you in your face. Talking about I ain't got a suit. When you've got a suit in the closet that none of us could afford to buy for you. That's what it's like when you don't understand the value of the prophetic word. It's like, man, I wish somebody would encourage me. You got a Dolce & Gabbana prophecy in your closet that fits you perfectly. You just never pulled it out and tried it on. It's the value of the prophetic word. This is the beginning of a new season. This is the beginning of a new day. This is the beginning of a new move of the Spirit of God. It starts with what we value. With what we steward. Lift your hands to the Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, I speak your blessing over each and every one of these sons and daughters of yours. Strength and encouragement over each one. Thank you that you are holding out hope. And today we flee to lay hold of it. And we have this hope as an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. We give you all glory and honor in the name of your Son, Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Give God a shout of praise. Yeah.